Please turn to Jeremiah 17, verse 19. Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 19 and reading through the end of the chapter. Thus the Lord said to me, "Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, Hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their necks stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work in it. Then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." Well, for the last few months of our congregation's life, we've been seeing quite a bit of Dan Birkenpass. And Dan happens to show up on a lot of weekends here in our fine community of State College. And it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because Dan's expressed no desire to join our church. He's expressed no desire to move to State College, and yet he keeps coming around to visit with us. And Dan's not alone. Dan's not the first in this pattern. Jonah was before Dan and visiting with our congregation regularly. Eric Wessel visited regularly a little bit before that. And consequently, we've seen this pattern before. And none of us look at this situation and say, well, this is a little odd. This is a little creepy that he would want to come around so often. No, we all understand why Dan has a desire to be in State College on weekends. That when Dan doesn't have to be at work, we understand why Dan would want to be here with us. Well, the reason, of course, is that Dan has somebody he wants to be with. And when Dan gets free time, he wants to be with somebody who happens to live in State College. Well, in a similar way, the passage this evening tells us that Sabbath keeping is a barometer of the love of the church for Jesus Christ. And if you have a free day, how do you want to spend that day? If God gives you a day, what's your desire? What's the most important thing to you? What do you want to do, and how do you want to invest that day that the Lord has given to you? And so our Sabbath keeper really is a barometer. It's an indication of the love of the church for Jesus Christ. It's an indication of how well we understand what God has done for us. And of course, this ties in with the purposes why God gave us the Sabbath day. Why did God give us this day. Of course, we know from even the very creation that one of the purposes of this day is a day of rest, a day for rejuvenation for people. And then as we turn in our Bibles to the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments, we find that God called His people to celebrate the Lord's Day because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And we find that in Exodus 20. So one of the purposes of the Lord's Day is to remember and celebrate and worship God's good work of creation. If we look at the version of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy, we find that the command's given a little bit differently. We're to remember and worship and celebrate God because He brought us up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And so part of what we're to do on the Lord's Day is to celebrate God's great work of redeeming us, of bringing us out of our slavery to sin as well. So we have the purposes of the Lord's Day of rest. We have the purposes of worshiping God for His creation and for redeeming us. We also are taught in Exodus 31, verse 13, that my Sabbaths are a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So the Sabbath is a sign to us that God's at work in our lives, that He is sanctifying us. He is making us holy, and that He's doing His good work. And so if we grasp those purposes, if we understand why it is that God has given us this day, if we understand that God has set apart one day in seven for us to be with Him, and then we take that day and spend it however we want to spend it, if we take that day and spend it apart from God, it indicates that our hearts are indifferent to God. It indicates not a love for God, but a lack of love, a lack of delighting in God. And that was the situation that Jeremiah was confronted with in Judah. God had set apart His Sabbath day. And how was that day being used? How are the people using it? Well, they were using it to continue on in their regular work, to bring their burdens into the gates of Jerusalem, presumably bringing products for sale at market, bringing wares, transporting their goods so that they might be sold, so that they might continue on with their marketing and their making of money. And so they brought along their burdens and were treating the day just like any normal day. Now, this idea of not carrying burdens into the city has introduced some odd concepts into even modern Judaism. Some of you may have seen, I think it was an article in the New York Times, after this big snowfall this past winter, one of the things that happened in the Jewish community was that people were concerned about taking their children to synagogue because they couldn't take the books and toys along with them that they normally would take. They couldn't take the stroller, that they couldn't carry, even the infants had to stay home because they interpret this to say that they can't even carry their infant to church, to synagogue with them. And you might say, well, how do they get around these things the rest of the year? Well, what they've done is they've taken whole blocks of the city and basically string around them. And then they say, well, because there's a giant string around these city blocks, therefore this is one dwelling. And so we can carry burdens within our dwelling, but what the snowfall did was it caused these strings, some of them, to break, so that now it was actually outside. And so now we can't carry our burdens anymore. Well, clearly that's not the import of this passage. The idea here is not that every time our new parents carry these car seats into church with the infants in them, that they are somehow violating. You know, it would have been better for you to stay home than to violate the Sabbath in this way. So that's not what's in view here at all. Rather, what Jeremiah is instructed to preach against is that these people were seeking fulfillment apart from God. They were trying to accomplish their goals. They saw happiness and the chief end of man, if you will, as being separated from glorifying God. And so the greatest source of happiness to us, the greatest source of contentment, is for us to continue on in our own business. And so there was no acknowledgement of God's part in their productivity at all. There was no desire to change for God, to set apart my interests in order to be with God. Being with God was not a priority at all for this people. In a similar way, we can find ourselves where being with God is no priority for us either. And that can be true for us on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, and it can be true for us other days of the week as well, where being with God is not of any consequence to us. It's something that we'll do if we can get around to it. But inevitably, when we take that attitude, of course, we don't get around to it, because there are plenty of other things vying for our attention. And so one of the questions that this passage leads us to ask is, how is it that you treat the Lord's Day? Do you delight to be with God? Or do you treat it just like any other day of your week and thereby indicate an indifference to God, a lack of concern for God, a lack of delight in being with Him? Now, we might object to that and say, well, the Sabbath is a relatively minor thing. It's a relatively minor thing. Well, we need to remember, of course, that the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. God, in writing up Ten Commandments, chose this commandment to be one of those ten. We also, in response to saying it's a minor thing, we can remember that doctors tell us that you can tell a lot about the health of a person by looking at their toes, by looking at their feet. We might say, feet don't seem that important in the health of a person. Your heart's up here, your stomach's up here, your brain's up here. Who cares about what your feet look like? But a doctor will tell you that your feet are very important, engaged in how your circulation is and how your overall health of your body is. And in a similar way, the Sabbath may seem like a minor thing, and it's often treated that way. But it's a very good indication of how our hearts are toward God. And clearly, Jeremiah 17 tells us that while we may think of the Sabbath as a minor thing, God does not view our Sabbath keeping as a matter of indifference. He views it as a great barometer of our love for Him. And that's why He calls the people here to pay attention. Verse 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Verse 21. Take heed to yourself. Listen up. Watch out, people. And Jeremiah goes and he this is a message not just for a certain segment of society. God's concerned about the Sabbath keeping of the whole nation, not just a select few. And so He sends Jeremiah to say, talk to the kings. Go to the most important gate in Jerusalem and proclaim the message there. But don't stop. Jeremiah, this is not a message that you're to preach one time. You go around to each of the gates of the city and you beat this drum. You make sure that the people know the message about hallowing the Lord's Day. And so Jeremiah does that. And God here is calling for careful obedience. Verse 24, heed me carefully, says the Lord. God wants careful obedience in this. Because it's important. It's not a matter of indifference to God at all. And so therefore it ought not to be a matter of indifference to us either. Now, why was it that God was concerned that they keep His day? Well, certainly God didn't want them indicating indifference to Him. But conversely, the flip side of that same coin is that by keeping the Lord's day, we and they and us as well, it indicate a delight in God. We indicated that we delight in the Lord when we keep His day. If we're given a free day, where is your heart? Where do you want to invest that time? God says, take this day and worship me, spend the day with me. Do we respond to God by saying, well, that's an incredible burden. How dare you ask for a day of my time? Or do we respond by saying, there's nothing I would rather do with the Lord's Day than spend it with you? As we keep the Lord's Day, and this was part of their problem, was that they wanted to keep bearing their burdens. They didn't want to trust God to provide for them. One of the things that we do as we keep the Lord's Day is we say, God, I trust You to provide for me. I'm going to lay aside my work, and I'm going to trust You, Lord, that I can still get my dissertation done on time. I'm going to trust You that I can still get my schoolwork done. I'm going to trust You that I can still take care of my house, that You'll provide for me and for my family. And so in trusting God to provide and keeping the Lord's Day, there's a repudiation of the values of the world. There's a repudiation of self-worship, of self-idolatry, of self-trust and confidence, and turning instead and declaring our confidence in the Lord. There's also a declaration that we love being with God. That we love being with God. And that's an important question for us to ask. Does our Lord's Day practice say to the world? Does it say to our families? Does it say to one another that I love being with God? I love worshiping Jesus. And that's part of the offense here in Jeremiah. That part of the heinous nature and part of the distress to God is not only are they breaking the Sabbath day, but they're breaking the Sabbath day in Jerusalem, in His holy city, the place where He's chosen to put His temple, where He's going to dwell, and of all places in all the kingdom where the people should have been able to say, we want to be with God, where you know, there was visual representation for them. There was all the fullness of the temple worship. If there was anywhere in the nation where the people should have had the desire to keep the Lord's Day, it would have been in Jerusalem. But even there, we find that the people had no interest in keeping the Lord's Day. And in a similar way, how can we ever expect a society to delight in keeping the Lord's Day when the people of God themselves don't delight in keeping the Lord's Day? So we're back to that question. What do you really want to do with the Lord's Day? What's really in your heart? Do you love spending the day with God? What does your Sabbath indicate about your love for Jesus Christ? Now, of course, one objection that you will hear to this, and we probably won't hear it in these circles, but if you were to talk about this tomorrow with somebody at your work, maybe another Christian who you're friends with, they're going to immediately say what? Well, we're New Testament Christians. What do you mean, keeping the Lord's Day? Isn't that an Old Testament thing? Of course, we would respond by saying, well, Hebrews 4:9 tells us that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, we would respond by saying that the Ten Commandments are the summation of the moral law, that we still believe it's wrong to murder and commit adultery and covet, don't we? Well, in the same way, we still have an obligation to remember the Sabbath day. We could respond by saying that the Sabbath, the keeping of the Sabbath, is a creation ordinance that actually precedes the fall, the remembering of the Sabbath day. We could also respond by saying that we keep the Lord's Day now more than ever because we have more to celebrate now than people in the Old Testament did. If anything, we should maybe think about keeping 2 days. Not that we actually promote that, but if anything, we've seen greater glory. We have more reasons to celebrate, as we've seen as the revelation of God has progressed and as Christ has come. And of course, we continue celebrating the Lord's Day as well because it's a day of eternal significance. And we look forward to and anticipate our eternal rest. And because we're counting on an eternal rest, even now we take a rest in symbolizing and in anticipation of that. So there does remain a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Well, we also see that Jeremiah is concerned to remind the people of the result of keeping the Lord's Day. That the Lord's Day does indicate either indifference to the things of God or love of God, but also that there's a result to keeping the Lord's Day. And we see that there's a result of either abundant blessing on the people of God or abundant curse if God's people will not honor His day. It's really what we see throughout the pages of Scripture, that there's a result for us in obeying and loving Jesus, and there's a result if we despise Jesus. The Bible clearly states that those who honor me, I will honor. And this was at the heart of the issue for the people in Jeremiah's day. It's at the heart of the issue for us as well. Who are we going to honor? Who will we trust? Because God then promises, in the later part of this section, abundant blessings for those who will honor Him. But then, if you'll keep my day, if you'll trust me, if you'll love me, then we'll enter the gates of this city, kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the city shall remain forever. Does that remind you, that imagery, remind you of anything? It should remind you of Revelation 21 that we looked at this morning, about the riches coming into the city of God. And God, what's God saying here? He's saying, you know what? You're busy carrying your loads of sticks and apples and bread and bringing it into my city to sell on my day so that you can get ahead economically. Where's that getting you? If you would just trust me, if you would love me, I can provide for you. I can take care of you. And I'll bring kings into your city who want to trade in your city. And you'll be an economic powerhouse, in essence, is what it's saying. And they'll come from the cities of Jerusalem, of Judah, and the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrificing grain offerings and incense. What's that tell us? Well, one of the pictures here is that one result of God's people loving Him enough to keep His day, loving Him enough that they delight to spend the day with Him, is that God will bring other worshipers into the church. And we ask the question, why is the church so ineffective? How can we have so many people in America who are Christians and yet see so little impact on our nation? I think part of the answer is that the weakness of the church is because the church does not delight in Jesus Christ. And how do we know that the church does not delight in Jesus Christ? Because the church is not willing to spend a day of its week with Jesus Christ. And that's the barometer, right? We have the indication in our nation that the habits of Christians on the Lord's Day, outside of going to church, are virtually identical with the habits of those in the world. And so therefore, it should be no surprise to the church that people are not attracted to come and worship with us. That people are not flocking to the church. Because if we don't love the God who we worship, why should other people who don't know the God that we worship want to love Him and delight in Him? Now, one of the struggles we might have with this section is, well, it sounds like obedience then equals blessing. How do we deal with that? Well, remember that blessing in the Scripture is always of grace and never of merit. Right? The parable of the unprofitable servant. That even if the servant works hard all day, that's just the servant doing what's expected of the servant. So even if we keep the Lord's Day, even if we celebrate and delight in the Lord, that's not somehow meritorious on our part that we can demand blessing from God. But it's a matter of God's grace that He will honor those who honor Him. Your Sabbath keeping is a barometer of your love for Jesus Christ. And Jeremiah here is calling you to love Christ. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if we have no desire to keep the commandments of God, then it's an indication that we really don't love Him. So we need to examine our Sabbath keeping. What does your use of the Lord's Day say about you? Are you delighting in God? Do you love to spend time with Jesus? Or is it a burden to you to spend time with Jesus and you can't wait to get back to your other activities? So much so that your other activities crowd in upon the day. Does your use of the day declare to the world that you're trusting in Jesus to take care of you? Or does it say to the world that I'm going to achieve happiness and success through my efforts and my efforts alone? Brothers and sisters, our indication of how much we love and delight in Christ is indicated by how we spend a day of the week. When we get a chance to be with Him and to delight in Him, do we hop in our car to drive to State College like Dan does? Do we hop in the car to go be with Him? I can't wait to be with Him. Or do we have other things that we're busy doing that distract us from Him? It really is an indication of your love for God, how you spend this day. And let us seek to delight in Jesus, to worship Him for all that He has done for us, and to realize that, yes, we don't love Jesus as much as we should, but to desire to honor Him with His day and to seek to be with Him. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we don't love You like we should. We confess that throughout the week that we find other things to do, that we allow other things to crowd out our time with You, And Lord, that even on the Lord's Day, on the day that you've set aside for us to spend with you, loving you, rejoicing in you, that we allow other things to crowd in and to dominate our attention. And Lord, we confess that. We confess that we don't love you as we ought to. And Lord, we thank you for this measure of our love for you, for this opportunity, for this clear barometer that you've given us to look at and to inspect and to see how much do I love Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would increase our love for you. We pray that we would be diligent to pursue you, to meditate on you, to meditate on being thankful to you, and to rejoice and delight in you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.